Yellow, yellow. This is Brandon with Jonathan Hayashi, and you're listening to the
Ordinary Radicals.
Ordinary Radicals.
Hey, yellow, yellow, or YOLO, YOLO, you only live once, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so. YOLO is very last year.
Oh my, okay. Y'all think I'm a dinosaur now. Well, anyway, you're listening to the Ordinary Radicals podcast, hosted by Jonathan Ashley and
Brandon Boatner.
Ordinary Radicals is a podcast of discipleship and biblical living, featuring conversation Q&As. Wide variety of topics to help you grow as disciples and the local church through leadership, discipleship, and mission.
I love that. That just says everything, doesn't it?
That was like my theater voice, actually.
Were you in theater?
No,
I wish. It shows.
Thanks. Hey, that was awesome. Oh, my goodness.
That's awesome. So, if you guys don't know, we talked about this last podcast. You have recently moved. You're all the way across the good country of Missouri.
Yeah. And I'm actually just so close to... Nice hoodie, by the way. Those who are watching over video, welcome, welcome. I love Midwestern Seminary. I was just there a couple days ago.
Yeah, that is my alma mater. It's a good school if you're looking. It's a great school.
They have the Spurgeon Library.
Yeah. I think between us, we hit some of those major schools. You're at
the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary.
And I also went to Southwestern, and we got a lot of them covered here,
you know,
right?
Midwestern. Yeah. Now we got to go to Gateway Seminary in California.
I'm not driving to California. And, too far.
Southeastern. Is that North Carolina? Carolina is the Greater Carolina. Somebody told me that. Don't be offended, those who are listening from the East Coast. And then Nolens.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk about school all this time.
Yeah.
But, you know, what we're going to talk about does tie into school. We're talking about, I think you had it a way you wanted to word this, right?
Yeah.
How did you want to word this topic tonight?
So, we're going to be talking about the waiting game.
The waiting game.
The waiting game.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so, I don't know about you, but like, I find myself at times, different seasons of life, that it seems like God, not forces, God allows us to go through a season of waiting.
Right.
And the question is, why does God make us wait? You know, I think that's a question that many people ask, you know, in those seasons.
Absolutely. But we hear this all the time, you know, something good things are worth waiting for, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we have any fishermen or fisherwomen, but I love going fishing, but you have to sit there and wait. And who hates to fish is usually children, mm-hmm. because it takes time and there's just an immaturity to that and they just want to catch. But I think this is true also in Christianity. When we're more immature in Christ, we just expect to catch person after person, and that's not how ministry goes,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You want to jump into this?
Yep. So we're going to be diving in and talking about five reasons. We're going to cover by five topics, five reasons God make us wait. So we're just going to just dive into it starting from the first point.
All right. Number one. One reason that God makes us wait is just to learn how to trust Him, even to challenge our faith,
mm-hmm.
right? We see this all throughout the Bible. Like, if you want to relate to people in the Bible, then you got to understand the waiting game, right? Because mm-hmm. we have people that are praying to God for children, and then they wait for that child. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Samuel's mom. I mm-hmm. forgot her name all of a sudden. Elizabeth? No, it's not. Mm-hmm. Hannah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I felt like I had no knowledge for a second.
So hey, that's okay. All right.
But we see that. But we're asked to wait so that we can learn how to trust as well.
Go ahead. So, you know, it's interesting as well as we think about the man of faith. The man of faith is Abraham.
Yes.
Right? And then what's interesting is that, though, when we actually see the narrative story of Abraham, Abraham doubted quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, we see in Genesis 12, we see the Abrahamic covenant. That God promises the land, the nation, and the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, numerous as the stars. But chapter after chapter, you look at Abraham. I was like, God, did you really promise this, right? And mm-hmm. I mean, and then there's Sarah. which she was known as Sarai, and she laughed, right? Mm-hmm. That's what the name Isaac means.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
By the way, my son's name is Isaac, and we named him after that.
Yeah.
The laughter.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, fast forward Genesis 22. Mm-hmm. We see the account that many of us children perhaps learn in, you know, Sunday school, is the story of where Abraham offers Isaac.
That's right. Yeah, we see him offer Isaac, and you think about that walk. It was not a short walk to where they were going, right? So they took servants, they come to the mountainside, and then the servants stay, and then they walk up, and even there's even this like heart-cringing spot where Isaac says, "Dad, where's the offering?" Mm-hmm. Right? And as a father, God had asked him to sacrifice his son. And if we remember the story right, whenever he lifts up his hand to sacrifice his son, God says, "Stop." He says, I was just challenging your faith. Basically meaning so that you can see your faith, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So again, that's a waiting process. And I don't know about you, sometime, you know, I pray like, "God, I want patience right now."
That's
And then I was like, sure, you know. And like you and I know, like actually praying, a lot of times praying means waiting.
Yeah, it really does. I've brought this up maybe in our podcast, but I know there's a bunch of country music fans out there, probably less, but there's a song called, I believe it's called Unanswered Prayers from Garth Brooks. And it basically says, I thank God for my unanswered prayers, because the things he was praying for as a young man were not the things he needed. And mm-hmm. he sings that song as he's looking at his wife type deal, right? Mm-hmm. So prayers are a waiting game. And it's a good thing that God doesn't give us the things of our heart, because our hearts are absolutely wicked and we can't even understand them.
Yeah.
Right? It would be bad.
Yeah, it could be good stuff too, actually. Such as I think about like young men in our church and young women. They're godly, wonderful, mm-hmm. you know, people. And I pray for them. You know, I pray like, God, just give them a godly man. And the desire is to be fruitful and multiply, as right. your scripture says. And a lot of times it's waiting and, you know, I encourage, you know, them to have faith in the Lord and wait on him and have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about that man that you like. When he smiles, he looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, and he looks like Leonardo DiCaprio Jesus. And but, you know, it's a waiting portion of it. And you're waiting. And a lot of times when we don't step out of faith, but because of our fear that we're going to be single for however long, we're not trusting the sovereignty of God and his omniscience. Mm-hmm. And I've seen this as a student pastor and working with young adults. A lot of bad mistakes happen because we step out of, not with faith, but we step with fear.
Yeah. And I think I wanted to go into to point, I'm going to call it number two, but I'm actually going to go out of order from what we had, because I think this ties really good in. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons we are asked to wait is to deepen our relationship with God. So you were talking about waiting on your spouse, waiting on the girl or the guy of your dreams. There's only a little bit of time where it's just you and God, and you can focus on him absolutely, mm-hmm. right? I think Paul talks about that too, where your spouse becomes, in some ways, I don't want to say a hindrance, but definitely becomes a priority, an mm-hmm. added priority to your relationship to God. Mm-hmm. So that there's an opportunity for us to grow in our relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
During these waiting times.
Yeah, and I think that really ties in well, Brandon. Like you said, there's a sense that there's a deepening relationship that God uses those moments to draw us to. You know, I think about the passage such as Philippians, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a verse that I constantly quote to myself. I need that reminder mm-hmm. That you know, be anxious for nothing. But in everything with prayer and supplication, make mm-hmm. your request known to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And in those moments where I am anxious and it seems like nothing is going my way, there's everything in this world that I can come to the Lord. I can come to our Heavenly Father, mm-hmm. cry out to him, cast my anxiety onto him, because he cares for me, as 1 Peter 5:7 would say. And a lot of times I don't. And that's where I need to. And then what happens, I draw near to God. God draws near. He's there constantly. I draw, like James says, draw near to God and he will draw near unto you.
Right.
And there's a sense that we are utterly dependent on God. And God uses those moments where we're waiting.
Right.
And maybe God actually wants our attention too, to in deeper communion, intimacy, walking with Him.
That's good. Yeah. And some of you listeners, you know this. I'm in the process. This is Brandon. I'm in the process of planting Remix Church right now. If you want to learn how to wait, plant a church during a pandemic. You know, this is the waiting game. So I was talking to an accountability partner of mine earlier, and he was saying, man, how are things going? Where's your struggles? And I really was able to say, you know what? My relationship with God is so deep right now. It's just so good. All I can do is trust Him, right? Mm. I don't know what the next move is, and that's okay because God does, and I'm just going to wait and keep on praying and talking to Him, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So that might be a good word for some of you guys that are waiting for a role in ministry, or you're waiting for your next answer for church or whatever you got coming. Mm-hmm. Hey, God already knows. Just be patient and grow close to Him in those times, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Brandon, you talked about the good that's coming up, and mm-hmm. you're waiting eagerly and you don't know the future. You know, I'm preaching through the book of Philippians right now.
Nice.
And then we're at the portion where Paul is chained up and people are preaching, you know, in verse 17, 18 in chapter 1, it says, out of rivalry and envy. And he's, you know, in another translation, stir up trouble. Yet Paul, right after that, verse 19, 20, 21, the famous verse, it says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Yep.
And the reality is, he said, you know what? The situation may actually get worse, but even in prison, I want to live for Christ. And in fact, Nero, the madman, the governor, he may take my life, but to die is gain. And I think that's a good place to be, because that was a waiting part of it, but Paul took advantage mm-hmm. of the opportunity, and he looked to Christ, who was his strength, his joy. And it's amazing because, you know, Paul has such joy in that circumstance. I mean, humanly speaking, it doesn't make any sense at all. But the prison actually led to the gospel advance, mm-hmm. and chains actually led to freedom from the bondage of being a bitter, cynical, sour Christian. Yet he says, you know, my joy and crown, I rejoice. Again, I tell you, brothers, rejoice in the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just so encouraging for me, whether in the good times or in the bad times, you know, God uses it to draw men and women to Himself. And that's a good place to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think that could even take us to our next point. Mm-hmm. And that is, during that time of waiting, God is going to shape your character, right? Mm-hmm. And we can talk about a lot of different things here. One for me has just been humility, mm-hmm. right? So I graduated last year or so with my doctorate. From that point, you think, where's ministry going to go? Well, it's going up now. I've got a couple letters before my name. Well, you know, big whoop. It really doesn't matter. We've kind of talked about that a little bit before, mm-hmm. because God wanted something else for me. And so I was asked by sort of the NAM, North American Mission Board, to go and do a residency in a majority African-American church. Reason being is because my heart is for a multi-ethnic church, and they wanted me to have more experience in that. And so I had to, like, make this decision. Do I go from being an associate pastor like I was making good money, to making, like, no money mm-hmm. as a resident mm-hmm. under another pastor, you know? And I came to the spot where I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. It was a spot of humility. And then God has just been amazing through it. It's been wonderful, mm-hmm. right? So just to humble us sometimes.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times what's interesting that I've learned just the hard way, Brandon, that a lot of times I think what's amazing about waiting is that you're absolutely out of control.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes people very uncomfortable, right? Especially young people like myself and others, that because we want to be in control. We want mm-hmm. to be omniscient. We want to be omnipotent. We want to be omnipresent. We want to be all-powerful in control. We want to be all-knowing about everything. So we want to be everywhere as pastors, right? Omnipresent.
Right.
But the reality is that, no, God is that, and I'm utterly dependent on Him.
Mm-hmm.
And that humbles us. And what's interesting, again, I don't think it's an accident where it says, cast your anxiety unto the Lord, verse 7. Right before that, He's speaking to elders, pastors, overseers. You know what He says? Clothe yourself with humility.
Right.
humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, in due time, he's going to exalt you.
That's it, yeah.
So I think it's not an accident. I think a lot of times where pride comes in,
okay,
and which kind of, I think, manifests a lot of times in anger, prideful people.
Okay.
Because they use their emotion to hide whatever's really happening, to control the situation. Anxiety proves of worry and fear, even at times panic that comes out, a lot of times it's because you're out of control, and that causes such weariness of your soul. Mm. In those moments, we can either get introspective, and we become, you know, psychosomatic, and we become depressed, anxious, you know, people, or we could look to God in prayer and supplication and trust and faith, mm-hmm. which takes a lot of humility.
Yeah, actually, absolutely.
You know, and say, God, I'm utterly not in control, but I'm dependent on you. I'm the one who is weak, faithless, pitiful person, in poverty, stricken soul. But God, you are the powerful, almighty, you know, strong, rich in blessing.
Right.
And I turn to you, right? And I think I shared this in a podcast one time. I think A.W. Tozer said, need is not worthy for the creator. It's a language for the creature, right? Does it make sense? So we are the one who are needy,
right?
Guilty, wicked sinners, in utter dependence on God. And I think that when we recognize that with the Holy Spirit convicting us and showing us and revealing that, we become more humble, and God allows us to shape our character more in Christ-likeness.
Yeah, and I think also what you're saying there with humility is, we know that humility is sort of the door to all of that, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe God is working on your character in a different way, right? Maybe you struggle, like we said, with anxiety or something else, and God's going to take you through to grow in faith. Mm-hmm. But humility is kind of like that open door. Whenever we become humble, God begins to move in amazing different ways, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the reason, like, again, this is more for elders, overseer, pastor, shepherd, which is the same usually in the Greek, presbyteros or episkopos in Ephesians 4 in the Greek that we see. But I think that's the reason, like Titus 1, 1 Peter 5, 1 Timothy 3, the qualification of a leader is to be a humble person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, said, you know, you must humble yourself, or God's going to humble you.
Yeah.
And God takes whatever it means through, you know, suffering or strife, adversary, suffering, afflictions, testing, trials, tribulations of our life, to really begin to work through that in our lives. And again, I think that's where, you know, especially younger, and it happens to older people as well, but I think for specifically, I'm thinking, because we're young ministers, I think I heard somebody told me this once, and young pastors overestimate what they can accomplish in 1 year, mm-hmm. and underestimate what God can accomplish in 15 years of his ministry. And that's waiting, right? Mm-hmm. I think so much we're eager, we want to make things happen, and this and that, you know, strategist, vision casting, so forth. But there's something about longevity and faithful endurance and perseverance, and that God allows us through waiting. He shapes our character, forms us more into Christ-likeness. So there's Christian maturation, and the fruit of righteousness begin to bear mm-hmm. in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah, and you even use the word endurance. I think that's good. We have to learn endurance, mm-hmm. right? We hear Paul talk about endurance in boxing and you know, running the race and receiving the wreath. And there's a lot of young pastors that need that word, because mm-hmm. I don't have the statistic in front of me, but most pastors, their pastorate doesn't last very long in their position, and then they move on. I remember at one time youth pastors were like, maybe it's 12 months or something very, very short. And mm-hmm. it just hit me hard, right? Because I spent 10 years at my last pastorate. Mm-hmm. And I would love to spend 10 years at my next, you know what I mean? Or more, because that's when God begins to work. I had someone tell me one time, it takes 5 years of ministry before you're going to see the big events start to happen. Mm-hmm. I needed to hear that. right? Because I think a lot of us get that itch, like, what's God doing? Am I still working? Well, it takes time, doesn't it?
Yep.
All right. Let's jump over to this one. And I think this is a big one, and it ties to us because, you know, we both went back to school. Mm-hmm. We both chose to go to seminary, and we're not advocating that you have to go to seminary mm-hmm. to be a pastor. I know amazing, you know, Matt Chandlers of the world. In fact, you said Spurgeon never went to seminary either, right?
Yeah.
So amazing guys. But here's our next one. God may give you this waiting time to grow in your wisdom and even your knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what's the difference in wisdom and knowledge?
Yeah, I think wisdom is, again, you know, correct me on this, but that's
because I'm wise.
But that's the actual application, the practical actual, yeah. Right? Is that correct?
Knowledge is what you know, and wisdom's how you use it.
Uh huh.
That's the way I say it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so some people, I'm so sorry, I'm not trying to shame young people here, but I just find it again because I was there mm-hmm. recently. You know, some young people are like, why do you go to Bible college? All you need is Jesus, you know? It's like mm-hmm. waste of time, 4 years of your education, then go get a seminary, Master Divinity, give your 3 years, and then, yeah, you know, you both, you know, worked on your doctorates. That's another 3-4 years. Like, that's waste of time. Think about souls that are dying out there on the mission field, on the streets in the inner city. I should just go and not wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you heard that. I've heard that.
I definitely
being said.
I definitely heard that. But the thing is, we don't apply that to almost anywhere else in our life, right? We don't say, man, that this is the woman of my life. Therefore, I'm going to marry her today. That's a bad move. You need premarital counseling. You need to grow. You need to make sure that that's not just the tacos you had for lunch that's making you feel that way, right? You need time, and God wants to use time for you to grow in wisdom and knowledge. And inevitably, it's going to make you a better pastor.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about it, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if you're questioning whether or not, you know, you just want to go in the field, I get it. I remember, you know, I got saved at 16, and I went through, you know, Christian Academy school and boarding school, and I was like, why am I wasting my time here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus, you know, there's, you know, like disciples, they were ordinary, uneducated men, Acts 4:12. Why do I need to go get a degree? Why can't I just go on the mission field? But there's something about waiting and faithfully studying under good leaders, good faculty, good professors, good pastors,
right,
and growing in that, you know. And I think it also helps you in your calling. You know, let's say, you know, you feel you went to a summer camp for youth, and you felt like there was an altar call, an invitation. You went forward and you gave your life and said, I want to be a missionary and I want to be a pastor. You know, a lot of times those calling, we call it that internal calling.
Mm-hmm.
There's a desire, and Satan doesn't tempt you to be want to become a pastor, by the way. So that's a good thing. You know, I mean, scripture says it's a noble calling.
Right.
But there's also not internal calling, but there has to be an external calling, which the flock, the leadership, the body recognize, yes, this man, this young person, a minister, we see the qualification. We see mm-hmm. The character, you know, prescribed in scripture, and we see those, you know, bearing fruit of the characters, and we identify, we ordain this person into the ministry. And that takes time. It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, and even outside of school, there's residencies, there's volunteer roles under church. Mm-hmm. I would say it is absolutely wise. If you know a pastor that moves your heart, or a youth pastor that you want to emulate, go study under that person, mm-hmm. right? I did that, and I spent a couple years under someone not getting paid, which I know that's going to rub some people the wrong way. They're like, you mm-hmm. didn't get paid? No, I didn't get paid. But God was so faithful to me. He always took care of my needs,
mm-hmm.
right? And even more, I got to learn how to be an awesome youth pastor under that guy,
mm-hmm.
right? And then I went and became a youth pastor.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There's different types of education.
Yeah, so in the waiting process as well, a lot of times we just think it's just a bunch of knowledge.
Right.
You know, but actually there's something about learning in a classroom, and that's good, but there's something about applying that in wisdom. So God wants us to wait to grow in wisdom. And only way to do that is sticking around and faithfully serving. What do you mean by that, Jonathan? What I mean by that, that, you know, like, and we speak about discipleship. Discipleship is not just information.
Right.
It's part of it, mm-hmm. but it's actually a lot of it imitation, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. Imitation, like it's really like what Paul said. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. The Greek word is mimiamai, which is, we get the English word mimic me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I often tell parents of with children, I said, you know what, parents, children are not looking for explanation. They're actually looking for a demonstration.
That's good.
So because a lot of things is caught rather than taught. And they're watching our every move. And there's something about parents spending time with their children, walking with them, talking with them, because, you know, I tell our small group leaders, we cannot expect people to emulate something that we are not emulating.
Right.
What do you mean by that, Jonathan? What I mean by that, it's like, we cannot expect you to be in the Word if I'm not in the Word, right? We cannot expect our flock to be praying if I'm not a praying pastor.
Right.
And we cannot expect our children to be fired up for Jesus if I'm not fired up for Jesus. And that's wisdom. That's knowledge applied into action. So mm-hmm. like I often say, information without application leads to frustration, but information with application leads to transformation. And that's a true, we don't see that overnight. We don't see that in a week. That's just faithfully walking in patterns of learning and growing, doing life together through the local church in a relational environment. And I think Jesus said that too quite a bit, actually. So, that being said, wisdom, that doesn't just happen in a classroom.
Right.
That happens in the living room.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Should we move on to our last one?
Yeah, last but not least. Yeah, the last point that we have is to create a heart of gratitude.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of illustration here and a lot of things we could go, but I just want to be very practical. I waited tables. There's waiting, right? I was a server for 5 years through seminary and through some of my college work, right? And one of the things I know about people when they go to eat is you go to eat because you want food.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have to wait for your food, whenever it comes out, it tastes so good, right? If you had to wait and get hungry, I think God does that with us. Sometimes we want a movement, but God waits until we're hungry for it,
mm-hmm.
right? And then whenever we get it, oh, it's so good. We're gratified and we thank God.
Yeah, yeah. So I hear, you know, this is not just young people, actually. This is someone or senior adults as well. They would say, why can't God just take me home?
Yeah.
Why am I on this side of this eternity?
Yeah.
I just want to be with him. Why is there suffering? Why is there sin? When is this going to end? You know, with all that's happening with the pandemic, all that with the COVID, all the isolation, separation due to quarantine. Why are these all happening? It's so that we would long even more. You know, we know we're sojourners.
Mm-hmm.
This is not our home. We're like exiles, like the Israelites. But there's a sense that we long and thank God more. So, you know, it's kind of like the already not yet that we're here.
Mm-hmm.
That we know, you know, paradise, you know, it's, you know, as Christ is on the cross, there's a sense that we are born again, we're destined for heaven, but there's a side of that we're here on this side of earth, and there's the flesh of our desires, and there's the brokenness of this world, and there's Satan, the accuser of the brethren,
mm-hmm.
who comes and tempts us and leads us astray. And that's where we're struggling. That's process sanctification. That's being holy as I'm holy. And we're waiting. And why are we waiting? It's so that I think God gives us a heart of gratitude to, like, you know, to rejoice, to worship, to exult, to look to him. And I think that's the reason why we're still here on this side of eternity. Why doesn't God just rapture everybody at this moment? Why doesn't Jesus just return? It's so that we look to him and we worship him. We thank him. We glorify his name. And that we get to do that as a church. So, yeah.
Yes, and this applies to so many different things, right? Learning how to wait and learning to be thankful. A thankful heart also will wait better,
mm-hmm.
right? So we learn how to be thankful in the little things while we wait for the big things, mm-hmm. don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And so I find that true with planning this church and with other spots in ministry. There's many days like today where I was just thankful for a beautiful day. God, thank you for this day.
Mm-hmm.
And did he give me 12 people to disciple? No, but he gave me today, right? So we learn how to be thankful for the little things, and it grows into the big things. Yeah, I'm sure there's a sermon in there somewhere, but I'm going to stay away from it right now.
Yeah. So I hear it's pretty much it. I mean, we can keep going on and talking about a bunch of lists of different things, but
we don't want to make you wait anymore. Wait, is that how it feels? No,
sorry. Yeah. Hey, that was a good one. Ka-ching, ka-ching. So
nice drum. Nice drum roll thing there. Shooting a BB gun.
Oh, man. So wait. Well, if you enjoyed our podcast today, go ahead and go to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, so forth, and give us a 5-star review. And, you know, if you want to listen to the previous episodes that we have available, you can go on to our website and search on Ordinary Radicals Podcast and search the previous episodes that cover a variety of different topics as well. If you want to go ahead and find us on Twitter, you can go twitter.com/Brandon Boltner or twitter.com/Jonathan Hayashi. And we just thank you for listening, giving your time, and hopefully we continue on providing more helpful resources for you and your faith and through the local church.
Hey, go make disciples. We'll see you next time.
Ciao.